Welcome everybody to Swine Time today. I'm your host, Dr. Barry Kirkhart, here from Pipestone, and today we're going to do some reverse rolling here. Usually Dr. Spencer Wayne's the host and he's interviewing people, but today it's our 50th podcast, and so we've got a special day here, and I want to interview Dr. Wayne and just get some of his insight. Dr. Wayne, first, could you share with the listeners here a little of your background? I think you always interview everybody else and ask for theirs, but you're kind of elusive. You never talk about yourself.
Yeah, that's just me. No, but to answer your question, like, who am I? Well, you and I've worked together for a while. I've worked with you for 20 years. If I go back where it all began, born in Minnesota, grew up in South Texas, finished out school at ag school, vet school, grad school at St. Paul at the University of Minnesota there. I went and worked for Smithfield Foods for 3 years right after vet school, worked for Cargill and Trina between vet school and ag school. And then I've been at Pipestone since 2004. Next year in April, it'll be 20 years.
I think that you bring something up. You were a feed mill manager at one time in your life, weren't you?
Yeah. I was the mill engineer trainee for Nutrina at Memphis at that plant, which is a mixed line feed plant. And then I was the manager for a little over half a year at Ankeny, Iowa. And then I came back to vet school at that point.
And you're a farm kid?
Yep. Farm kid from Texas and Albert Lee area. Yep. Both.
And your father's a big turkey rancher, right?
Turkey rancher. He has a hen barn for Jennie-O Hormel's turkey division.
Oh, yeah.
He raises hens.
Oh, yeah.
And he's about to retire, I think, right now. He's starting to slow down.
Okay. Well, yeah, Dr. Wayne, from my perspective, a brilliant guy and a super veterinarian, super friend. And also, what I like about Spencer the most is he's very inquisitive and will challenge everybody. And then a hidden talent here is he does a fantastic job with the Swine Time. And Spencer, I do mean that sincerely. I'm like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah, I appreciate the comment that you would say that. I enjoy it a lot. It's been a lot of fun doing this. And you say, like, you're always challenging. Like, usually I have to throttle myself and say, quit asking questions, because people just start getting mad because I won't let a meeting progress at its normal pace. I'll ask dumb questions and stall it out. So it's not always good.
Yeah, I think I've been a victim of that before and told you, Spencer, quit asking questions, and then you called me a something hole. I really didn't know what that was, but you quit asking questions after that, so it all worked out.
I learned. All right, Barry, enough about me. Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a veterinarian. I've been at Pipestone for nearly 30 years, and the most recent exciting thing for our team, including myself, has been with our ownership into Holstone and our leadership with Dr. Luke Minion. Luke was previously our CEO and chair of the board, but with the Holstone ownership and the need for Luke's talent at Holstone, he elected to become their chair of the board and president to Holstone. So subsequent to that, we had some changes here. Spencer, as you know, kind of a blessing for myself, to be honest, is I was named chair of our board. So that's an honor and an opportunity for myself to grow. And then Sean Simpson was named president of our Pipestone Partnerships. And Hannah Walkes will be the president of our Pipestone Services businesses. So, and then, of course, under that, everybody kind of, I would just say I'm super excited for, 20, 30 people all just kind of elevating their role and responsibility. So a lot of changes here. I've got total confidence in the team. We won't miss a beat. In fact, we've got a great future with our farmers. And so I'm excited for the opportunity for all of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, hey, Spencer, just, maybe share with the group, what's the goal of Swine Time?
The goal of Swine Time, we were just thinking about, it's simple. It's like we think things are interesting here. We think there's some good information, either just how stuff works or new knowledge. And we talk to each other, but then we don't get a chance to broadcast to our listeners. It's to get information that we think is interesting out to that listener group. You know, what we think might be good for them to know, either enrich their lives, make them better, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's important to reflect our mission, helping farmers, and the goal of podcast really to get information we know to those farmers in a method that they can easily listen to, right? Not everybody has time to read and not everybody has time to go to the meetings. So I think you've done a great job focusing on what's important and trying to get it messaged to our farmers and clients and others that may not even be in the pork industry that just have interest in what's going on. So you've been doing this since 2019.
Is that true?
That's what I hear. Yep. And we're on number 50. That's why I'm interviewing you. And one of the blessings you have is you're really good with people. You're inquisitive, so you ask a lot of good questions. And that's why I think these podcasts have been helpful for a lot of our producers. But if you were going to kind of distill down to two or three podcasts that you'd say, you know what, those are really interesting for myself. I think they really brought a good message to our farmers that they may not have been aware of. What would those have been?
Yeah, it's a good question because there's a lot of good ones. I'm going to throw a couple of just interesting honorable mentions. And I thought about this because the question was presented to me a little before we started. One really good one, specific one, just because I love the people involved, was two different Hutterites. It was a guy from one colony and a guy from another colony. And just to ask them to talk about Hutterite life, not even so much about their pigs. They did talk about their pigs, but it was really just about life on a colony and what the colony is about. And it was good. They were relatively shy. I think they were kind of nervous because they didn't know who was going to be listening to this. And then later I realized why they were shy. It's because the colonies, we would tend to lump them together and say, well, they're all kind of the same. But there's nuanced differences. And so these were different kind of colonies. And both guys were concerned that if somebody was listening to it, they might think that I'm like a different kind of Hutterite. I'm like, hey, guys, from the outside, unless you're a colony guy, you're probably going to just not know any difference at all anyway. But they were really concerned about how the listeners would perceive things. And I love those guys. It was fun to do that because they're just so interesting. Their life is interesting. The second thought is I have like Carissa Odland, you know, interviewing her about some of her research.
Yeah.
She's so careful in everything she says. She likes exact answers to questions.
Carissa's very smart and calculated. Spencer, you're very smart, but loose. what you're thinking, you say.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see the different personalities.
Yeah, and the late Bob Morrison counseled me a few times saying, hey, you should just stop and think about what you're going to say before you say it. Thought, yeah, you're right, Bob. But Carissa was careful. And so you had to extract hard when you're talking to somebody that maybe doesn't just want to talk. And then I interviewed like Gordon the next day or something, I remember. And Gordon, you just say, Gordon, start. And then he just goes and talks the entire time and fills it up with beautiful, eloquent speech. And so, you know, the different speaking styles of people and how they want to talk is good to see. You know, those are just some fun remembrances, I guess. The three best podcasts, though, I would say, and I grouped them into groups, but I'll comment a little bit, and then I'd like to get your thoughts. They would be some ones we did on our Hispanic labor that we've been able to use in some of our farms, and also not our sow farms, but helping with our grow finished producers and our shareholders. Another one would be the research that Scott D's done. Did a few different podcasts with him. The last one is the Discovery Barn and just the public-facing interaction that Sylvia Walters has had with folks in the past, as well as Taylor Sprunk recently. And so just talking to those individuals, they're passionate about what they do. It's important for our industry. It's important for our business here and our clients. And so I'll start with the Hispanic labor, generally in the form of a TN visa acquiring person from Mexico that's come up here and ends up getting some employment here on our sow farms, or with the case of our farm team program with the Grow Finish people. So I would say that's huge. The fact that we have those folks here because they allow the farms to function. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have farms. We'd have to have robots or something doing it because it's impossible to staff these farms without that help. And the part I liked about it was the backstory of Giovanna or Jesus, the two different individuals from Mexico that I talked to, just hear where they came from. They had to go through a big process, I guess, to get here. And then when they get here, you know, if they're not in their homeland and they're living in a different world, we're living where we grew up, essentially. They're not at all. So I like that one, and I'll turn it around. Like, what do you think?
You know, just to be open and candid, Pipestone couldn't operate at the scale we are without those people. And I had the privilege, Kieran and I had the privilege last night of hosting, actually, our manager leadership group last night at our home. And we had about 31 new young managers for our Pipestone managed farms, and about probably 3/4 were TN visa international people, mostly from Mexico, and 1/4 were domestic people from the U.S. But I had a chance to talk to nearly every manager, and they have some great stories. When you talk about commitment, those people leave their families behind to come here to work, to improve their life, to learn how to manage livestock in a progressive way. And then the ones that I had a chance to meet are these young people, most of them under 30, that have grown from knowing nothing about pigs to now leading teams of 10, 20, 30 people in a sow farm and having outstanding results. So just for us, those people are very important. And for all of our listeners, I would just say, if you get a chance to get to know them and hear their story, it'll make you have a whole different respect for them. And then regarding those members working for us at the sow farm, serving our farmers, also a great experience that we've had, or a offering we've had, is through Dan Hansen and Giovanna, our farm team offering. And that's where we recruit these TN visa workers to come and work for our farmers. We've got about 70 or 80 placed now on farms, and it's been a game changer and a life changer for our farmers that have used those people. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear many of those farmers say how, you know, they basically have adopted or welcomed these people and have a lot of respect for them because they've come and done the hard work that sometimes ends up fatiguing us, and really improving their operations, and they've grown to have great relationships with these people. Yeah. So I would just say that, and I remember that episode and Giovanna sharing the culture of the people, and it's important to understand their culture. The Hispanics in general, we're talking,
mm-hmm.
very smiley, happy, friendly people. They like to be socialized, and if you get to know them, they'll be great friends and great, yeah. and they're great colleagues.
You know, it's interesting because our introduction to the TN visa bearing individuals that come up is to the sow farm initially.
Yeah,
and that's somewhat of a sterile environment. It's the wrong way to say it, but there's no interaction with the farmers directly. It's the farmers own the sow farm, but they never really interact with the employees at that level.
Yeah,
but when they go to work with a farmer on his grow finish operation through farm team, it's kind of a match made in heaven because you got, I think, a pretty social population coming from Mexico that like interaction, and farmers they're different than some Wall Street guy. The farmers are family oriented. And so I've seen it happen over and over again. They get kind of sucked into the family situation where it's almost like they get adopted into the family.
Yeah.
And there's a strong relationship there. So it's almost a match made in heaven.
I would say if you have interest in looking at some labor, reach out to us because I've told people here before, if I were a hog farmer, I would have a couple TN visa workers for me, and they would add to my value, my operation so much versus me thinking I got to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your time is worth something to you, and you're going to spend it all doing that or what?
Yeah.
But a good way to amplify yourself. The next area is the research. So Gordon comes on and talks just about the pressure of international disease, these foreign animal diseases, and what he's been experiencing going to China and whatnot. And then you get Scott kind of chasing that, saying, well, we're testing it. We're testing to see if that stuff can live in the feed. We're testing to see what kills it in the feed. We're building this BSL level, whatever, I can't remember what number it is, but basically it's filtered incoming and outgoing air. So we can test the impact of these feed mitigants that he's proving work or don't work. His work on testing trailers and different disinfectants and what kills it. The guy's like bringing Arnold Schwarzenegger with full helicopter and gear and everything to the Gettysburg or something. He's just so heavily gunned on what he can do as he's slowing down and starting to retire now. You miss that, but he's so powerful in his research. So Scott and his research was another big remembrance. And what he's done here, filters, feed mitigants, just disease pressure, disinfectants, over and over again, practical research. So I'd say those I really enjoyed because Scott's so good. So what do you think about that?
Well, absolutely, and we've been blessed to have Scott and other great talent on our research team. And for our listeners, I think sometimes it's hard to fully appreciate, but on these disease control methods, one, Pipestone's been at the front end of nearly everything from filtration to just biosecurity practices to feed mitigation. And with that, a lot of results from the leadership of Scott and Scott's response to feedback from our team. And because of Scott being part of our team and our great production and veterinary team given, you know, observations, we were able to identify risk factors that we thought needed investigation. We investigated most recently feed mitigation in the last 3 or 4 years since PED was introduced to our country. And because of that, because we had that chance to do that research, Scott was here. our team, our vet team, and him worked together. We were, I would say, on the front edge or the bleeding leading edge on that, mm-hmm. and understood it and introduced feed mitigation to our farms. And because of that, the losses our producers had from PED was about 20% of what the industry had, i.e. we did 80% better than the industry on our disease control because we understood it. We had science driven by our team and Scott, and we applied, and we never really knew the full impact this could have until you have time for results. But now when we look back in our last 2.5 years and the success Pipestone's had for our farmers on disease control with 90% of our wean pigs for 2 years running being PERS negative. I don't think anybody can say that for the scale. And our PED break, less than 2% on 2 years running. I don't think anybody can say that at our scale. That's because of our understanding of these disease control methods that are really driven by science, the research you referenced there, Spencer, by Scott, and not just Scott, but our whole team. That's what, you know, for helping farmers, we can understand, sort out the science, and bring what really drives value to them and ultimately improve their profitability.
Yeah. So Scott, he's so good at what he's doing with his applied research, Pipestone applied research, and definitely applied is the key central word in that thing, literally and figuratively too. It, so the things we've done for our South Farm, our shareholders, put South Farms in better places was kind of common sense, but the filtration, the feed mitigants, yeah. our biosecurity steps that Scott was validating the whole time, that was like we've applied the knowledge of that, and that's like, does it pay off? Well, if you look at our trends, it sure seems to. And so the decisions without Scott would have been gut rent or gut feel decisions that wouldn't have been based on any science. They would have been wrong half the time because of that.
Yeah.
And the guidance from Scott was excellent. So his podcast where he shared that, it was awesome. I hold a lot for Scott because of who he is, but also his interviews were great for relaying that information. The last area that I think is really, we're good podcasts, I guess, was Sylvia. And Sylvia and Taylor Spronk and her talking about working at the Sioux Empire Fair and the different county fair efforts that we have. And what I thought was good about those interviews was just the ability to interact with the public and the stories that, that those folks shared. I was thinking about my own experience working at the Oink booth at the Minnesota State Fair and just the importance of interacting with the public that doesn't have any exposure to pigs. If they do, it's typically bad because they're somehow getting fed a line from people that don't know any better or don't know the real information. So just talking to real people as real pig farmers is an important, important thing. So how important is it that pig farmers of every walk of life work with the public or take opportunities to go to things like the county fair and work at that, if they have a sow booth or some kind of a display there? I don't know, take it away there. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, one, really appreciate the commitment Sylvia Walters, Taylor Spronk have had towards promoting not just, you know, our farmers at Pipestone, but the whole industry to the public. Super important. And I think we have the Oink booths and the, you know, the sows at the at least 10 county fairs. And something like I think we're at least 2 or 3 state fairs. And I think it's really important that, one, we as an industry and our farmers not be ashamed at all what we do, because our farmers are state-of-the-art, great producers. They love what they do, and they are the best at it. And they should be the ones that take some time, 3 or 4 hours in a year, to go and attend one of those booths and interact with the public. Don't be afraid of that at all. And what it does do, it helps you, one, influence them, two, hear what their concerns are, and make you more aware of how we're perceived in the public. That's what I think is important there. And I've had a chance this past, I think it was Saturday, to go to the Sioux Empire Fair here in Sioux Falls and see our team working and interacting with the people. And the day I was there, a sow farrowed, and she had 20 live-born pigs and 0 stillborns.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take her back to the farm.
A little bit of a problem because we only had, we had 3 sows there, but she was the first one to farrow, but it all worked out well. But it is just fun to watch, really, the mothers with their kids. It was in the afternoon, so it was a lot of mothers with their kids watching the sows farrow and seeing them interact and having the kids, they got to touch a pig. And I think for a lot of those kids, they'll remember that for life.
Yeah.
And if we make a good impression, I think that will help. Yeah. So really appreciate that work. It's kind of like, I feel like a lot of times underappreciated or recognized, but don't underestimate the influence that we can have on the public. And as our listeners, if you're a farmer producer and you have that chance, don't think, oh, I can't do that. Absolutely don't think that. Go out and interact with the people.
Yeah. And it's a little bit like in a Christian life, you'd say, oh, I can't help another person. All you got to do is help somebody that needs help. You know, exactly. You just have to be at the same level or a little ahead of somebody on some issue that you can help somebody. You don't have to be the world expert or anything. And I take my daughter, for example, Molly. She knows about pigs, but not the level that you and I would be dealing with information and production on. And so we go to the Minnesota State Fair, and in the oink booth, she says, I want to work. And so I said, all right, will you check in with Sylvia or you know, somebody there and get the t-shirt and get set up. And then you come talk to me and get trained in. And then she didn't do any of that. She just grabbed a t-shirt and she started talking to folks in the public, and she didn't know what she was talking about, but the interaction was good.
Yeah.
She presented it in a positive light and she didn't know an answer. She kind of found out about it. She didn't have to be anywhere, some advanced level of knowledge, to have a great time. And then everybody that interacted with her had a great time.
Yeah. I'm going to put a plug in. And I say this a lot. Of all our people that help here, help the farmers at Pipestone, I would just say they're all great people. They all do different things. They're all great people. I think they all love the mission. And so leading into that, Spencer, what is the mission of Pipestone and what's it mean to you?
The mission statement, helping the farmers of today build the farms of tomorrow, or create the farms of tomorrow. We shortened that to helping farmers, which is, I think, kind of brilliant. Just distills it down to
then I can remember
it. then I can remember it. But I think it's great. You think about the history of Pipestone, and it was before I started. We had the local farms were, kind of looking at what's the future here. And we said, we're going to do something better. And it would have been Gordon and you and Doc back then saying, well, we got to put some kind of a more efficient sow model together and then help these guys be sustainable. And that was initially getting them their gilts and then commercial pigs. And so, like, what a great concept, because without that, very few of those guys would still be in pig production. They might be a contract grower for somebody else, but they wouldn't be their own pig farmer anymore. So huge. At least operating at the level with the sophistication that they are now through a managed farm. So I'm rambling now. I'm sorry, but what does it mean? Like, what a great story that you could keep a family involved in a type of agriculture because you were there, because you and Doc and Gordon and Luke were present. And without that, those people would be doing something different. They might not even be farming at all.
Yeah.
So keeping the family on the farm is a huge deal.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a privilege to help farmers, and we have about 560 farmers that are part of the Pipestone Management Group, and then another 500 farmers that we work with in other ways. But just, it's rewarding and refreshing to think that we're part of them being successful. And I would just say the producers we work with, line them up, they're all successful in different ways, but they're all very successful. So it's awesome to be a part of that. So with that, I think we better wrap up. Dr. Wayne, thanks for joining me today on our 50th Swine Time podcast. This is Dr. Barry Kirkhart and Dr. Wayne checking off.
Swine Time podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by me, Dr. Spencer Wayne, with the Pipestone Veterinary Services. The podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.